Thank you for tuning in today to our Wednesday broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today we'll be continuing our study in Exodus, so let's join Pastor Dave now.
Soon your trials will be over.
If you need a Bible, raise your hand. We will place a Bible in your hand so you can follow along. We are going through the book of Exodus, and so we're going to be in Exodus 22 here this morning, and I'm excited because of something that God showed me weeks ago, and I thought that it was going to be a long time before I'd be able to use it, and then at the end of what we're going to be going over, all of a sudden it presented itself, and so I get to kind of go into something that I think is very fascinating. And so we're going to go through chapter 22, starting in verse 21. We begin here. Verse 21, it says, "You shall neither mistreat a stranger nor oppress him, for you are strangers in the land of Egypt." So as God is speaking to Moses, and Moses is going to convey this to the people, he lets them know, never forget what it was like while you were in Egypt. And so when strangers come among you, okay, you're not to take advantage of them. You're not to treat them poorly. Never forget where you came from. And because you were so mistreated in Egypt, why on earth would you want to mistreat somebody else? Why would you want to do that? And so the nations of that time were like Egypt. They would usually treat outsiders poorly. Not so with the nation of Israel. They're going to be different. And because God has blessed them, they're going to bless others. In Leviticus 19:34, it says, "A stranger who dwells among you shall be to you as one born among you. And you shall love him as yourself, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." And because you're strangers in a foreign land once, so now you know what it's like. Make sure that like I treated you bringing you out of the land, you treat others that way as well. This should come from a place that God loves me. God rescued me from Egypt. I should show my gratitude to God. Because he loves me, I should love others. Because God has rescued me, I should be there to help rescue others. How? With God. With God. Verse 22 says, "You shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child." The word widow here in the Hebrew is almanah. It means widow. It means a desolate place is what this means. The idea here is not only is a husband dead, but the father is also probably no longer with her. And thus, it also suggests probably no sons. In other words, there's no husband or sons to protect or care for her. Paul seems to concur with this. In 1 Timothy 5:3, says, "Honor widows who are really widows. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents." I love that. I have four kids. Need to bring this up to them more. Make sure we have the same view of the future. Okay? If need be, you are to take care of me. Or your mom. And we, Mindy and I, are to take care of our parents if the need should such arise. Let them first show piety at home, repay their parents, for this is good, acceptable before God. Children should never allow their parents to be homeless. We are to repay our parents for taking care of us. That is very, very good and acceptable before God. The word fatherless is a very interesting word. It's yatom. It means orphan. Orphan means not having a father. That's what it means. Dave, could it also mean, you know, not having a mother and father? Yes. But orphan doesn't mean not having a mother. It only means not having a father. That's what the word means in the Hebrew. It's interesting that if you have a mother, you're still, you know, you're still an orphan. But if you have a father, you're not. Now think about that for a moment, because research tells us something. Nearly one in four grow up without a biological father, step, or adoptive father at home. And they're affected in the following ways. The fatherless, greater risk of infant mortality, greater risk of poverty, greater risk to have behavioral problems growing up, greater risk that you're going to go to prison, commit a crime, join a gang, be pregnant as a teen, to be abused and neglected, to abuse drugs and alcohol, suffer obesity, drop out of school. When the head of the home is gone, which is what God has created fathers to be, the priest of the household, when the fathers are gone, the head of the household is gone, the house suffers. The house suffers. Is there any wonder there's such a spiritual attack on fathers in this world? Because when you remove the father, society suffers. And we see that. When you see someone in society acting out and doing heinous, heinous things, there's a great chance they never had a father. They never had a father. And so in God's word, you're to take care of orphans, those who don't have fathers. That's very important to God, because fathers are very important to God. Fathers are very important to God. Verse 23, if you afflict them, the fatherless, in any way, and they cry at all to me, I will surely hear their cry. And my wrath will become hot, and I will kill you with the sword. Your wives shall be widows, your children fatherless. If you afflict the widows in any way, if you afflict the fatherless in any way, God hears their cry. And now he's looking collectively as them, as a nation. As a nation, what are you doing with the widows? What are you doing with the fatherless? Are you coming alongside? And you better not be afflicting them, making it harder for them. Because if you do, then God is going to use other nations to destroy Israel with the sword. Psalm 68:5 says, a father of the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy habitation. God is the father of the fatherless. And he is also the spouse to the widow, and he will defend you. There's no greater father than our Father in heaven. And when you come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, what does Jesus say that you can now call God? He says you can call him Abba, Father. And you want really good advice from your new Heavenly Father? Go to the Word of God, and he will speak to you and be the father that you never had. He'll be the father you never had. And as a widow, guess what? God also wants to be your spouse. And so you want to hear from your new spouse, your father? Go to the Word of God. Go to the Word of God. Verse 25, if you lend money to any of my people who are poor among you, and you shall not be like the money lender to him, you shall not charge him interest. So again, the person's down and out. They're having a hard enough time just paying back your loan that you lent them. Don't attach interest to it to make it even harder for them. Don't do that. Now, there might be something that a person might put up for collateral, for a loan. That's addressed here in verse 26. If you ever take your neighbor's garment as a pledge, you shall return it to him before the sun goes down. For that is his only covering. It is garment for his skin. This is the outer cloak, okay? What will he sleep in? And it will be that when he cries to me, I will hear, for I am gracious. Some poor will literally sometimes have to give the very shirt off their back, in a sense. Here they give their outer garment in order to get a loan. This is all I have for collateral, is what I'm wearing right now. Okay, you have to give that back to them before nightfall. And in the morning, they give it back to you for collateral to make sure that the work is done for the loan that you have given them. But at night, you give it back to them. And then in the morning, they'll give it back to you however long it takes to get that loan. Okay? And so you have the cloak there to make sure that they don't run off and not pay the rest of their loan. Okay? And so again, they're not to do that. And then it says, and when he cries to me, I will hear, for I am gracious. One of the things that the Lord is trying to show, we're trying to see God's character in all this. The reason we're supposed to treat people in such a loving way is because we have such a loving God. The reason why we're supposed to be so merciful people is because we have a merciful God. The reason we're supposed to be gracious to people is because we have a gracious God. And we're to imitate God. I want you to go over here to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Jesus is going to say something here because he's trying to check the motivation of our hearts. And sometimes we think we're really good people, and then we only find out that we're only doing what the world does. We're not going above and beyond. We're supposed to be different from the world, but we're just being like the world. And so he says in Luke 6, verse 30, give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. Hey, you did good to that person. That's great, but sinners do that. Hey, I love all sorts of people in my family. Well, sinners do that. They love people in their family. What's the difference? The difference is, and if you lend to those whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For any sinners lend to sinners to receive much back. So you lend to people, sinners do the same thing for the same reason, in order to get money back. But Jesus says, but love your enemies. Do good and lend. Hope for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you'll be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Interesting there. Because Jesus is saying there, you're going to do something different. You're going to actually love your enemy. You're going to actually do good. You're actually going to lend, and you're not even going to hope for anything in return. In fact, that's kind of the policy my wife and I have. We don't lend, we give. You know what happens when you give? You're not disappointed when they don't return. There's no disappointment there. I remember earlier on when my wife and I were first married, and we were dirt poor, okay? Dirt poor, but we had a little bit of money, and we had a family member come and ask for money. And I'm going, man, we don't have very much, but what we have here, we're just going to give that to you. No, no, we'll pay you back. You don't need to pay us back. We're just going to give it to you. It's a gift. No, I'm going to pay it back. Okay, whatever. But we're not expecting it, you know. 7 years later, they paid it back. And I'm going, and before I said, you don't have to do that. My wife and I have just given it to you. It's our love for you. You don't have to do that. I know, but God has put on our heart to give it back. And I said, all right, if the Lord's put it on your heart. Dude, if you're going to throw the God card out, I'm going to receive it. And they gave us a couple hundred dollars on top of that as well. Bring it, Lord. He says right here, you're going to be rewarded, and your reward will be great. Awesome. And then you have to check your heart. Okay, to the next time, we're just giving it to you, but I'm hoping you give it back with some interest. It'd be great. Because that's what happened last time. No. You don't look at it that way. You're just going to continue to freely give. And when you freely give and they don't return, it's kind of like, well, it was a gift. You don't even think twice about it. You just do it. Just give. And that's different from the world. That's different from the world. Because God wants us to be different. And he says, therefore, be merciful. Why? Just as your Father also is merciful. I want to be like God. I want to be like Jesus. I don't want to be like the world. Well, the world says if you give, then charge this much interest and all this kind of stuff. And why would you want to be like the world? Don't be like the world. Ephesians 5:1, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. We need to be like God. We need to be like Jesus. We need to be merciful, gracious, and help those in need. And that is what God is trying to tell us here. This is how you're going to respond to those that are going to live among you. This is how you're going to respond to the stranger. You're going to love them because I'm a loving God. In Matthew 15:11, well, first, Exodus 22:28. You shall not revile God, nor curse a ruler of your people. Wow. Should we just repent right now? In this political season, as always during the political season, have any of us ever been truthful to that? Nor curse a ruler of your people. Have you not heard of what maybe a political candidate has said, and before you even thought, you spoke? What an idiot. You just spoke evil. We're all guilty of this. And going into this heightened political time, I want you to remember that. I want you to remember that. Dave, I want you to remember that. Right there. It's right there. It's right there. It's right there. Okay. All right. Good. Jesus says in Matthew 15:11, not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, that defiles a man. He goes on to say, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. Oh, man. When you just go, that was in there. It's part of your heart. Your heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Only God can. And he says to every single one of us, before you come to the Lord, even after you come to the Lord, even after you've been walking with him for years, guess what, so-and-so? You still have a heart problem. You have a heart problem. You know how that situation happened and boom, you said this? It's because that's what was in your heart. Oh, it's just words. I don't mean it. I remember a friend of mine saying that years and years ago. He'd like to be as gross and disgusting and say the worst thing possible at the worst possible time to see your reaction. And people would challenge him on that. He said, they're just words. Well, before I knew this, I didn't quite get what he was saying, but it was kind of like, no, what you say is because that's in your heart. That's in your heart. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. They defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, you speak lies, and blasphemies. Blasphemies can only be directed towards God. And so anytime we get angry with God, anytime that we just throw something out to God, this is not so unfair, I can't believe you let this happen, whatever, which happens to all of us. God has broad enough shoulders, he can handle it and everything, but it's just showing what's in your heart. It's just showing what's in your heart. And so one way you live out a just life with compassion and mercy, integrity, is by watching what you say about God and others. You show me someone that has a really good handle on their tongue, and I'll show you somebody who's gone to the Lord over their heart. You're just trying to grin and bear it. I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it. That doesn't show a changed heart. Because most likely you're thinking it, you're thinking it, you're thinking it. But when something happened that usually makes you respond in such a way with your mouth, and then that situation happens and you don't, it's probably because you took it to the Lord over your heart. And so now when that situation happens, you don't respond or react with your mouth because you've already taken to the Lord over your heart. My heart is wicked. I think this of that person, or I think that when this situation happens, I think, and I know it's not right. Lord, deal with my heart. Change my heart. And so he'll give you more and more time. I mean, if you want to change, how can a young man change his way? By taking heed according to thy word. Thy word I have hidden in my heart. It's the word of God being hidden in your heart that will change your heart. And so, again, you hide it in your heart. So whatever the issue is, maybe anger, might be lust, it might be a self-righteous attitude, whatever it is, memorize scripture for that. Because when that self-righteous attitude comes up, all of a sudden that scripture will come up. And that's God speaking to you. So next time that self-righteous attitude would probably take 50 times or more starts to come up, all of a sudden you go, oh, yeah, that's not right. Lord, forgive me. You know, and so, boom, you don't speak with your mouth at that point because God's dealing with your heart. He's dealing with your heart. In 1 Timothy 2:1, it says, therefore, I exhort first of all that supplication, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men. Should we all again repent? Do you make supplication, prayers, intercession, giving of thanks for everyone, even the people you don't like? For kings, there's those rulers, and all who are in authority. Do you pray for them? Do you pray for a governor? Do you pray for the people that are city council? You pray for people that are in authority? Do you pray for your boss at work? Do you pray for, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. It's interesting that Paul actually quotes this verse when he misspeaks to the high priest at his trial. In Acts chapter 23, the high priest Ananias commanded those who stood by him to strike him on the mouth. And Paul said to him, God will strike you, you whitewashed wall. I guess that was a real zinger back then. A whitewashed wall or whitewashed tomb speaks of empty bones and death and all sorts of things behind it. It looks nice on the outside, but the inside's bad. For you sit to judge me according to the law, and do you command me to be struck contrary to the law? And those who stood by said, do you revile God's high priest? And Paul said, yeah, I do. No, he didn't say that. I did not know, brethren, that he was the high priest, for it is written, you shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people. He's quoting here from Exodus. He didn't know it was the high priest, you know. Even though the high priest did was wrong, it didn't mean that Paul could now do what's wrong. This is why we read by the Apostle Peter that when Jesus was reviled, he did not revile in return. All sorts of unjust things were happening to him. Doesn't mean that he gets to be unjust, and it doesn't mean that he gets to break the law, and he didn't, because he's God and he was perfect. Verse 29 goes on to say in Exodus 22, you shall not delay to offer the first of your ripe produce and your juices, the firstborn of your sons, you shall give to me. Likewise, you shall do with the oxen and your sheep. It shall be with its mother 7 days. On the eighth day, you shall give it to me. So you're not to delay and paying off your dues to God, tithes, the first fruits. This goes back to Exodus chapter 13. I know that was a while ago. Long while ago. So I want you to go over here to Exodus chapter 13. And understand as we go over this, this is on the heels of Exodus 12, the Passover. They're still in Egypt. 9 plagues have happened. The 10th plague has just happened. The Passover, the killing of an innocent lamb. Applying the blood on the doorpost, the lintel and the 2 doorposts. You take the blood out of the lintel, 2 doorposts. That's a sign of the cross.
We're out of time for today's Wednesday edition of Abiding in the Word. Pastor Dave Love will be back tomorrow to continue our study in the book of Exodus. If you're in Castle Rock or the surrounding area, we'd love to have you visit. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. Our weekend services are Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 8:30 a.m. as well as 11 a.m. High schoolers will meet during the 8:30 service and junior high students during the 11 a.m. service. Child care is available during all our weekend services. And for young adults, our Arise Ministry meets every Friday night at 6:30, right here at the church. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. We appreciate you spending time with us today. Until our next time together, we encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.